One of the most frustrating things that could happen to a person is when you're driving and you look in the rearview mirror and you see sirens and the lights behind you and you're getting pulled over. It's extremely frustrating. And anyone listening who has a license, who's had a license for more than a few years, most likely it happened to you. Just last summer, I was pulled over a block away from my apartment. And I had zero idea what I did wrong. And the cop told me that one of my taillights was out and gave me a ticket for that. And then he told me, and by the way, you don't have a front license plate, and gave me a ticket for that. It was a beautiful evening. And it's frustrating, of course. But there are, of course, different degrees and levels of getting a ticket. My license, of course, was not suspended for anything like that. And I didn't get any points, and everything was fine. A person gets a DUI, is drunk and driving. So in the state of New Jersey, your license could be suspended anywhere from 3 to 12 months. Your fine could be anywhere from $750 to $1,000 and could be thrown in prison for up to 30 days. So obviously it's a much more severe thing. There's a Gemara in Yoma, Nav Kuf Beis, on Beis, that discusses sins that were committed by Shaul and David. And how Shaul, it says, committed one sin, and it cost him his throne. And David committed two sins, and it didn't cost him his throne. And the Gemara asks, Shaul be'achas mahi, what sin did Shaul commit that caused him his throne? It says, Maisa de Agag, the sin of Agag, which we're going to read about in the Haftarah this week in Parshas Zachar, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Shaul to destroy the nation of Amalek. And Shaul had compassion. Shaul had mercy on Agag and didn't kill him right away. And Shmuel had to tell him, you made a mistake, a grave mistake. You have to kill Agag. And anyway, Agag ended up being with someone that night, and Amalek ended up continuing. And the Gemara asks, but what about, there's another sin that Shaul committed, Maisa Denov Ira Kohanim, where Shaul destroyed the city of Nov, which was inhabited by Kohanim, and killed many, many, many Kohanim. And the Gemara responds, says, you know, he already lost his kingship from when he didn't kill Agag, from his sin by not destroying Amalek, and therefore that's not really counted. So what were David's two sins? So the Gemara says David's two sins, one of them was sending Uriah, who was the husband of Bathsheba, sending him to the front lines. And the other was a sin of doing a census for Bnei Israel. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out that the story with Agag and Amalek was in Perek Tevav in Shmuel Aleph. But if you prok him earlier in Perek Yud Gimel, there was another big sin that Shaul did, where we're told explicitly that he was going to lose his kingship for this. So what happened? He was told by Shmuel that Shmuel Hanavi was going to be coming and he was going to offer a Korban Ola. And Shaul was impatient. And Shmuel was supposed to come on the seventh day. And on the seventh day when he came, he didn't see Shmuel. And he was impatient and he offered up the Korban himself. And Shmuel came. Shmuel was very upset that he did that. And Shmuel reprimanded him and told him that because of this, you're going to lose your kingship. So the first question is, why is it that that's not counted in the Gemara? And the second question is, the Gemara said that Shaul did one sin and he lost his kingdom, and David did two and didn't lose his kingdom. So why? How come Shaul's one sin is so much worse than David's two sins? What's going on? So Chaim Shmulevitz explains that when Shaul offered the Korban Ola, that wasn't counted because that was the exact same sin at its root of what he did by not destroying Amalek. And that sin, at its root of what it is much worse than what David did. David's sin, his sin with Uriah was out of passion, was his Yeter Hara overcoming him. And the census was a mistake of counting him in Israel, making that mistake. But it wasn't anything, any remote type of rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Shaul's sins at their root was not having a emunah on Hashem. And questioning, even worse, questioning Hashem's ways. As the Gemara continues to say, Beshash Amar Lo Kosh Baruch Hu LeShaul, when at the time when Hashem told Shaul, Lech V'Kisas Amalek, that go and destroy Amalek, Amar, Shaul responded to Hashem. Uma nefesh achas amra Torah haba egla rufa, that there's a mitzvah when you have a person who, Rachmana Litzlan, you find a dead body outside of a city, and you don't know where this person came from. So the halacha is you measure the closest city to where this person was from, and that city, the Zakenim are responsible to offer an egla rufa, to kill an egel out of the fact that they didn't take responsibility for everyone who came through their town. To make sure, obviously, this person didn't get home safely. And so Shaul argues, says, if for one person who was killed, we have this procedure of egla rufa, kol hanefashos halalu alachas kama v'kama. You're telling me to kill all of a malik? Imagine how much worse that is, to kill so many people. And Shaul continues, v'im adam chait. And if you want to tell me that a person sins, that human beings sin, behema machata. What did the animals do? Because Hashem commanded him to not just kill the humans, all of Amalek, as the people of Amalek, but even the animals that they own. He says, what did the animals do? And Shaul continues, v'im gedolim chatu. And if you want to tell me that the adults sinned, ketanim machatu. What did the children do? How could you command me to kill the children? Yata baskal v'amra lo al tehi tzadik harbe. A baskal came out, and a baskal said, Shaul, don't be such a tzaddik. Don't be so righteous. Now it happens to be, I'd say literally, the most difficult mitzvah for us to comprehend is the mitzvah of wiping out a malik. I heard from Rav Moshe Benovitz, who said that it's not a coincidence that something that's the most difficult for us to understand is something that we're unable to even fulfill nowadays. Hashem made it so that we can't fulfill it. And it is very difficult for us to understand, and a lot of different understandings of what that even means, Bizman Hazeh. I'm not going to go into that right now. But Shaul's mistake was questioning Hashem. And Hashem said, destroy this nation, all the people, all the animals, all their possessions. And Shaul was arguing, how could I do this? How could I kill the people? How could I kill the animals? How could I kill the ketanim? How could I kill the kids? And Hashem said, through the baskal of don't be so righteous, what it means is don't question my ways. Trust me. Don't question me. And when you have mercy that's misplaced, not killing Agag, you know, he's hurt. Or already killed his whole nation. What's he going to do? When you have misplaced mercy, it's a terrible thing when you're going against the boss of all bosses, when you're going against the Ribono Shel. And that's why Shaul's sin was so grave. And when Shaul offered that Korban Ola, he thought he had used his seichel. He said, you know, Shmuel Hanavi is a little delayed. Maybe he's not going to come. Let me just do it. And he had a rational reason for doing it, but he was wrong for doing it. And he was using his seichel to go against the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was a terrible thing. And that's something that it's worth him losing his kingship over. And Chaim Shmulevitz explains that when it comes to drinking on Purim, which certainly every person at their own limit, at their own legal limit, whatever it may be, I do not happen to not really drink much on Purim. On a typical day, even a typical Shabbos, I have zero alcohol, so I fulfill the shita of having a little more than I usually drink by having about a quarter of a cup of wine. But when it comes to drinking on Purim, so we're told, Chayav Inish Lebesume Bepuraya, a person's obligated to drink on Purim, get drunk on Purim, Ad Lo Yodav Ben Ar Haman Lam Baruch Mordechai. To the point where they don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, Ki Ksha Adam Hu Ayodeo Machlet Al Daito. That a person, the goal is to be an Eved Hashem. And what an Eved means is to always listen to the master, to not think for yourself. That's what an Eved is. It says when a person is thinking for themselves, this is Machlet Al Daito, ain't no Eved El Ben Chorin. You're not an Eved Hashem, really. You're a Ben Chorin. You're free. You're a free thinking person, not thinking for what Hashem wants. Al Kain, therefore, Hu Chayev Lebesume Ad Lo Yada. Therefore, on Purim, we're commanded to drink until we don't know, ulisalik as kol koach haseichel ve'akara ha'atmis, that we have to remove our seichel to say, I don't know anything. And that's the highest level. Lukabel as ar haman baruch Mordechai, to say, Hashem, I'm willing to do what you want. I know nothing. Al pi rotan boro ve'munas chachamim. I'm willing to listen to you and the chachamim because I know mamish nothing. And that's what he says, a deeper idea behind the idea of drinking on Purim. I have high school students who are, or seniors who every year go off to visit colleges. And I think of the following mashal to bring this point home. That imagine if there's someone who goes to visit Harvard. Now obviously they're a smart kid if you're going to visit Harvard to think you have a chance to get in. And you go and you're sitting in on a math class. And you're in a huge auditorium and you're sitting in the back. There are 300 kids there. And you look at the whiteboard and you see tons of figures, tons of numbers and symbols. You don't really recognize too much of this. And you decide to raise your hand and you say to the professor, he calls on you, everyone turns around, looks at you, and you say, what is this? The professor says, what is what? You say, this math, this isn't math. What are you doing here? And everyone starts cracking up. Everyone starts laughing. And of course, you'd be a fool to do that because you have to know, you have to have the humility to say that this is probably above me. You think that it's below you because you don't recognize it. And look at me, I'm a 12th grader. I'm really smart and I did really well in my SATs. So clearly I should know this. And if I don't know, it must mean that it's nonsense. And everyone starts laughing. Of course, what do you mean? You're some high school kid. You don't know anything. You have zero idea of what high mathematics is. And so too when it comes to us serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are plenty of times where we think, if I would run the world, if I'd be in charge, if I had the keys, I would do things differently. Hashem, it seems like sometimes Chas V'Shalom, he's sleeping on the job. And of course, that's a terrible attitude. And of course, Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. And the goal is to just do the mitzvos, to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, to not question his ways, and to know that Hashem is the one in charge and knows exactly what he's doing.